Dieter and Hutch, alive, living the McCorkle dream. It felt like we were in a fever dream today, Jake. Like Mac Jones is Kyle Shanahan's starting quarterback. He's ripping out the 2021 game plan. He's Garoppoloing. He's like chubby Jimmy, just working it to Kyle's just deep down delight. That was something to behold right there.
Yeah, it's funny because like I went back and I watched the Jags tape last year. It looked like a different dude, man.
Totally.
Like
that was don't give a fuck, Mac.
He looked comfortable. Like it was night and day between last year where he's just dropping it down to the tight ends. He's fighting for his life. He doesn't know what he's doing because he doesn't really trust the offense. And
he shouldn't have. They fired everybody.
That they did.
It doesn't even look that great now. I only caught a glimmer of the Jags game today, but Bryce Thomas Jr. I'm not going over the middle anymore. That's a fun little thing that he's doing. Let's talk about.
It's cool. I have him on both fantasy squads. Yeah, it's ruining my life.
Okay, we're going to take a 20-second aside here. I'm in my fantasy baseball semifinals right now, and everything rides in a very serious league. Everything rides on Trent Grisham somehow pinch hitting and either scoring a run or like stealing a base. It's all on Trent Grisham, which is not a place that you should ever be. Much like we thought
that's tough.
Mac Jones being your quarterback is not a place you should ever be. But as you were saying, Jake, he looked great is going to be a term that's going to be thrown around. It's only applicable because of the low expectations. He was more than serviceable today, and a lot of other guys, including him, grinded out a win in New Orleans.
He was really good. Yeah, and it's funny because it's when you go back to that 2021 situation where, and I wrote it in my column after the game, it's not so much that he couldn't produce. No one was like expecting him to not produce in the 49ers offense. Everybody thought it would work, but it was like, but why are you trading all these picks and to try
this
and move
is with
up?
Trey Lance. Yeah.
This is with Trey Lance. It was going to be Mac Jones when they traded up.
Yeah,
that was
the guy. He wasn't worth the cost.
Right, because he didn't have the athletic ability or the arm talent, but it wasn't like a question of like, oh, he's not going to be able to work.
Right.
Like everyone knew, like he's going to work with Kyle. Like that's going to work. It's just there's no real upside to it. Right.
Yeah. It's like, why would you pay $200 million to a quarterback that's just sort of a system guy?
Why would you pay the equivalent?
You're giving up three first round picks for a system guy.
Right.
He's a good system guy, though. Like that is the baseline of the conversation. And it was proven today. I mean, Kyle. Like flowers to Kyle. That was a hell of a. That is as on I've seen Kyle in a while, and I'm sure that he has been very on, and we have just taken it for granted, and we haven't noticed it as much because Brock is somebody who is able to extend plays with his feet and is willing to rip it anywhere on the field, and he's got some devil magic going on, and so it just doesn't feel very Kyle-y. But that was very Kyle-y, and it was very effective, particularly on third down. Can I throw some numbers your way?
Go for it.
Okay, so Mac was 7 for 12 on third down today, which, listen, there were a couple where you're like, ooh, that you should have stayed on the field there, particularly late, right, where you missed Juwan Jennings on that throw.
Yeah.
I don't know if it would have ended the game, but it gives you a better shot at it. But 7 for 12, 111 yards and 3 touchdowns, and he converted a 3rd and 14, 3rd and 6, 3rd and 5, 3rd and 6, 3rd and 10, 3rd and 11. I mean, he was converting not third and ones and stuff where it was just, hey, we can obviously play
action.
None of
it was easy. Like, none of this was easy. Like, the Saints are a pretty competent, tough defense
that
threw a lot at. I mean, their corners are iffy, but like.
I mean, one of them is.
Yeah.
Do you want to start with duds and just talk about Isaac Yiadom for a second?
Just Isaac Yiadom.
Wow.
Just literally like clawing at Ricky Pearsall's heels all game. Not really getting called for much, but like literally tackling him before the ball gets there every play.
I texted you in the middle of the game, is Isaac Yiadom or Justin School the worst starter in the NFL? And the answer, you're right, is School, but it's close. Isaac Yiadom's coming for the crown, baby. It's a tough
scene. Yeah,
he
had some really rough moments.
Okay, we're talking Mac. We'll obviously talk a ton more Mac. Give me another stud. Who's a stud in this game for you?
I'll say Micah Williams. I think that's the most obvious one we'd go to. I mean, that pressure up the middle that Bosa got the sack on, And it's funny because people realize like he's getting double teamed a lot. And part of that, again, is being up the middle. And so like his numbers are always going to be weird and not really representative compared to like a normal edge rusher.
Totally.
Because he's kind of playing three or four. And I think they played him more outside today, which I liked.
They put him at strong side defensive end way more consistently.
Yeah.
And I mean, and to your point, like, yes, I got a lot of grief for thinking that Michael didn't have a crappy game in week one.
He didn't have a crappy game, but he wasn't stellar.
He was just fine.
He was just fine, but he was at a better level than what they had in the middle last year, for sure.
Unquestionably.
On day one.
And again, we're talking about a defensive end and we're talking about the middle. So like there you have to grade on the curve a little bit there, at least in my mind. The truth is he doesn't have a back. And the truth is it doesn't really matter. In a lot of these games, this dude was living in the backfield, and just because he was picking up the offensive lineman and taking him along for the ride like a toddler doesn't mean that he wasn't living in the backfield.
Right.
And I don't care what the stats were. He was a game wrecker everywhere that he was today. He was fantastic. I mean, he wasn't even the number one star on the defense. He might not even have been in the top four or five. But he was... He was awesome.
Yeah, and there's plenty of snaps with him where it's like... You know, he's kind of just holding his gap. He's not getting a pressure, but he's like, he's not getting pushed back. Like, he's better at holding a gap than like the actual defensive tackles that they've had over the last 2 years, which is pretty astounding. And again, his profile, his size, his athleticism, it's not a surprise, but like, he is extremely high floor, immediately competent. But like, that play in the backfield, the pressure, like, He was causing the Saints, who again have some weak spots on that line.
No doubt,
he's causing them some problems. I love the game he had, and he came up in big moments too.
Okay, but here was a dud, Alfred Collins. I didn't know you could go ice skating in New Orleans.
He had one pressure. I noticed, and that was great. But my God, the ups and downs with him.
There's just not enough ups. I get it. Like every now and again, it flashes once, but I have to sift through five plays of him just going for a walk, just taking the dog out for a walk, and he's the dog. It's a tough watch. Like I feel bad. Like I feel like kind of pity watching him just getting ragdolled out there.
He looked a little bit better in the second half, but there were some moments where I texted you. I was like, is he just a bust? Like, I know that was like an overreaction.
It's
going to take him time, and he's always going to need time to develop, but like there's some reps that are just horrific.
I mean, unplayable reps. And I don't like this trend, right? Because I really liked what I saw from Seattle's offensive line last week. This is a kid who didn't get much practice time, a guy who you're trying to teach an entirely new thing to. There's a lot going on there, and so he gives you one good rep and about four bad reps out of like 7, 8, or 9 snaps. And you're like, well, you know, first game on the road, this and that. You would expect for there to, again, we're starting with the lowest of the low bar. You would have expected him to just be like, here's two good plays.
Yeah.
And I didn't see, I saw the one good rep you were talking about. But like legitimately, his arrow's pointing down from a game where I didn't know it could go down.
It's tough because, like, you don't know what he is as a player right now. Like, the idea was, he's going to be really good at run defense, and anything else beyond that is great. Like, if he develops as a pass rusher, great. It's going to take him time.
Totally.
And I really, truly believe that he's been in the injury he had and the change in system from what he had at Texas, where he's two-gapping, he's just holding up to trying to, like, split gaps and get upfield. I think it's messing with his head, and he doesn't quite... I really, truly believe he's not sure what he's doing. And that's not to say Chris Foerster can't coach defensive line or that I know better than him, but, like, Chris Kasturic.
No, we get messed.
It's a tall task, and I think he's in a couple different minds about what he's actually doing.
But, like... And we don't need to litigate the 49ers draft class right here, right now, but that's not ideal... That your second overall pick 45, if I'm
43,
remembering,
I think 43,
that he is best case scenario as it looks right now, somebody who's gonna need a redshirt year. Like that's cool if it's somebody in even the third round, because that's what they're doing with their third rounder. That's okay if it's definitely day three.
Yeah.
Like these are the kind of qualms that should not apply to a top 50 draft pick. Full stop. It shouldn't apply to him. even a quarterback when you don't play them initially, knowing damn good and well that it's in everyone's best interest to not play them initially so that they can catch up to the mental speed of the game and learn all the things you have to do as a pro because it's just a completely different sport in college. Even then, if they don't play year one, you're like, something wrong with that guy.
Yeah.
Like, you have to have every week, it's a very clear rubric, like, no. I mean, if this guy gets injured, yes, but no. Like, defensive tackle, rotational position, right? Not, you know, it's not like you're taking Aaron Donald off the
field.
And
I think they're taking these games to, like, just see what guys have right now in the season.
And, yeah, that and to be 2-0 while doing that is a fantastic situation, but...
Weirdest 2-0 start.
An uninspiring 2-0 start if you were looking for a really good team. That's right. Yeah. If you were looking for a team that can win the Super Bowl, like, this is the worst 0-2 team in that regard. You're like, no, there's no freaking way they can win the Super Bowl. But if you're looking for a team that might make the playoffs, have I got a football team for you? They're going to fight you. Like, every game is going to be like this the entire year. There will be no games that are not agonizing because, again, Brock Purdy, who did not play, has taken the soul of Russell Wilson, who old Russ showed up today. That was fun.
Oh my God! What and then disappeared.
And then old
he got
then
so
old
high
Russ
on his
showed
own,
up.
He got so high on his own supply. He's like, I'm chucking it 70 yards down the field every play, and I kind of loved it. But I was like, the last one was such a horrific miss. Like, you have Russ. Like 4 minutes to work with.
No, we're going deep. By the way, I was so close today. I was so close today on the bull projections double. Double, goddamn Brandon Aubrey making all.
Brandon Aubrey is the greatest kicker that's ever set foot on this planet.
It's probably true, except for, you know, there's like four kids right now in Vero Beach, Florida, that can bomb it from 70 that we don't know about yet. Give me another stud.
A stud. I know it's like the most obvious one, but like McCaffrey, because it'll go with my dud. Because McCaffrey is just like, I'm gonna do both because they go hand.
They have to.
McCaffrey was a stud. Brian Robinson Jr. was a dud. Woof. Because you watch McCaffrey and you're going, that's pretty impressive. This is a 7-yard gain out of nothing.
Yep.
And then
hi, Tucker.
And then you literally watch Brian Robinson do nothing.
It's unbelievable.
I'm really like trying to just be objective here. Like, he doesn't break tackles. He has no real shifty ability. No. He runs through the hole. Mm-hmm. And he gets about 3 yards, and maybe he'll fall for like a half yard. But really, he's getting like stood up straight in the hole and not really doing anything extra. And McCaffrey's like fighting for his life with the most insane 5-yard gain you've ever seen.
It is what McCaffrey had a 7-yard run to the left side today with Tonjes as his lead blocker. That I'm like, wow, where he had the patience. There was also a counter run that was clearly not a counter run, where I think it might have even been an inside zone run right off of the guard. And he's coming in, and everybody's going that way. And he just noticed everyone went that way. So he countered it up and got like 14 yards. And you're like, wow, but that shouldn't be the threshold for excellence in elite play. But compared to the most average running back in football, which is Brian Robinson, you're like, oh, that's the difference between great and fine.
Here's my... because McCaffrey, obviously, like, he was dominant in the pass game, too. Like, some great catches in this game that were huge. But, like, the thing with him is not just that. It's that, like, Robinson feels like when you play Madden and you don't use the running back and you just, like, and it stimulates and it automatically goes arrow and it just follows the arrow. That's what it seems like.
That's right. He will get you those yards, which, by the way, I'll throw a dud your way. Isaac Arendo. Y'all wondering why Isaac Arendo ain't playing even as Brian Robinson does this? Those two kick returns today are why. He cannot see it. He does not see it. And he has this belief in his physical abilities, which is probably justified, that he can somehow take something that he cannot see and beat it. And a terrible kick return on the first go where he couldn't make somebody miss one-on-one, which would have maybe broken it, but he just couldn't. It wasn't even close. And then the second one is he's in his end zone. He goes, I'm doing it anyway. And it's like, dude, if you can't see it, you can't play for Kyle Shanahan. I think that Brian Robinson can see it. I just don't think he can do it. Christian McCaffrey can see it, and he can do it, and is just a vital resource out of the backfield. Yeah. They used a lot of bump motion in this game, where they put him out and got Werner, the linebacker, who I thought had a really good first half, put him in some real conflict in the second half, and it opened up the pass game a little bit more. This is what I'm talking about with Kyle really being in his bag today.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm with you. And I think the other thing is like, I mean, when you look at the defense, I just think Fred Warner and D. Winters were unreal.
Unreal.
Like, those are two other studs for me. Like,
to say different. I mean, right. it's almost perfect linebacker games, including a 15-yard penalty.
Including a 15-yard penalty, which was very Dre Greenlaw-esque, where it's like
I think it was Kyle Madsen who goes, he's taking this Dre Greenlaw replacement thing a little too far. Like, it's a little too spot on. I wouldn't be shocked if he just showed up in number 57 next week.
He should. He should.
It's like, it's the same one.
I know.
It was awesome.
And it's like, it's funny because like Warner is so good, but you just sort of expect that to happen. So you're like, there's the shine of D. Winters. There's all that. There's the newness. Mm-hmm. And then Warner, like the play of the game will be like his fumble that he forced on Kamara. But like really, it was like him locking up Juwan Johnson on that third down.
Unreal.
Unbelievable. And the commentator, I was like, I think it was Moose Johnson. I was like, Moose, did you not just like give me something? That was incredible.
Yeah. Well, but Kyle Juszczyk left, so Moose ran out of all of his notes because he was only going to talk fullback the entire game.
Oh, like what are we talking about? Like Kyle Juszczyk, like 10 years ago, who was like sort of a cool weapon.
He's never been this. He's never. Jake Tonjes. Can we be honest here? Jake Tonjes was just as good, if not maybe a little bit better. Are you running the same leak stuff and all that? No, because you don't trust Jake Tonjes to run it. But like we talked about this in the preseason, and I know that I'm sure somebody rolled their eyes and it's like, listen to these two dorks talking about Jake Tonjes fullback snaps in the preseason. This is why it matters, because Juszczyk was never going to make it through a full season, right? In a game, he gets concussed. He was actually playing pretty well before that, to whatever degree of fullback
can play. He was. I mean, and listen, they're like at a tight end, so it's like he's a useful player. He's just not like a real factor.
And I know that he had a holding call against him. He was being held, so I'm sure he thought at the moment, like, fair's fair. Let's do this thing. He is the one who got called on it. I thought that Tonjes just actually had a really nice game. And I think that, you know, obviously he had that huge late game in Seattle that gave him the reps, right? And now he comes in here and he's very serviceable, very professional. Allows the offense to maintain some semblance of the game plan, which is huge. I wouldn't be shocked if we just get more and more Jake Tonjes and let Farrell, who did catch the touchdown. Great call there, Jake, by the way. Let Farrell be the blocker.
I was trying Tonjes to get that out there. That was like such an obvious, like the best prop bet of all time is like Luke Farrell first touchdown scorer.
He got that ball in the flat, and I'm like, I don't think he's going to make it.
I was like, come on, buddy. Come on. Pick it up a little bit.
Who was slower getting into the end zone today, him or Juwan Jennings?
Oh, my God. Jennings, you're like, he's got all the space in the world, and you're like, is he going to make it? I know. He literally, you ever see that video where it's like Greg Jennings, that guy commentating over Madden? He's
on
like,
his
Greg
back.
Jennings.
Put the team on his back.
He's like limping. He's like scoring a 99-yard touchdown with a broken leg. That's what it looked like.
Here's how I know. That was literally the first thing I thought about. I almost yelled out, team on his back. It was painful to watch. Let's call it a stud, man. What a warrior.
He was a stud. He powered through. It seemed like he separated new parts of his body throughout the course of the game.
But never from a corner. Never from a corner.
It's like that Monty Python bit where like the guy loses all of his limbs and he's like, I'm fine.
Yeah, he was the Black Knight.
He actually was. He powered through. I mean, that was a hell of a performance. Not a stud, but like, you know, some real ups and downs from Kendrick Bourne, not knowing any of the plays and getting them basically not two penalties, but they had to burn two timeouts.
No, they had like, a delay a game on one.
Did they? Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Because it was late. They just straight up had a delay a game. They also had a situation, and I'm not sure. I actually am really interested to watch on the All-22. They had a situation where they had to call a timeout in the first half coming out of a break.
Oh, yeah. Brutal. Because you literally watch Bourne like go, I don't know.
Yeah, and Mac was doing a good job. And, like, credit to Mac, by the way. It's a new offense for him, too. Just because we all thought that him and Kyle Shanahan were going to do a would they or won't they doesn't mean that they have, like, he had to learn all of this stuff. And, like, you cannot take that as a given because we've seen backup quarterbacks, not just with the Niners, but with, like, every other team come in and be like, okay, and what is that again? He was on top of it. And this is, you know, the mind meld, I'm sure, is one of the reasons why Kyle really liked him. Also because he can't possibly do anything that could result in a cool play or vice versa, really get you in trouble. Like, which Kyle's like, I would rather have no upside but limited downside and just have the mind meld. And it worked.
Yeah. You know what's really funny? There's a situation where in about 6 weeks, the 49ers suddenly have like the deepest wide receiver room in football.
True.
I mean it.
It's because true. They signed Bourne to a full year
now
contract.
Now that they have Bourne, they have DeMarcus Robinson coming back. If Ayuk comes back and is healthy, suddenly you have Pearsall, Ayuk, DeMarcus Robinson, Juwan Jennings, Kendrick Bourne. And then
I'm not sure if Juwan Jennings is going to make it much longer.
Well, that's fair.
He's out there trying to get those incentives early because they might his body might not make it past that mini bye.
But that's then Watkins. Deep room. And then Watkins, who, like, I don't know if he'll play at all this year, but like,
I
liked what I saw in the preseason.
I liked what I saw in the preseason too, but you have to take wide receiver preseason with a grain of salt. I saw Danny Gray catch a touchdown pass from Trey Lance one time.
Doesn't count.
The future is now. Listen, I think Watkins has a good reputation in the building from as far as I can gather. That's a positive, right? Like, that doesn't hurt your case if people think that you're sharp and on top of things. But I did find it somewhat hilarious and maybe indicative. Now that we've seen the game, we know that almost the exact opposite happened. But it was very indicative that it felt like going into the game, everyone's like, I want to see Garendo and Watkins. And I'm like, if you're talking about that, this is a 4-win football team. And that's with one in the bag. So the longer you don't see Watkins is a good sign. Now, that's not to say that MVS or Gage wasn't even up today, like, or Sky Moore, who, by the way, they just stopped putting on offense after the first half because they saw what he had done in certain blocking situations, or should I say lack thereof blocking. And the longer you don't see Watkins, consider it a good sign.
Yeah, I'm with you. I also, there's one more guy I want to shout out.
Wonderful.
Before we get into just sort of recapping.
Well, I got a million guys. We're going to keep going. But
let's keep going. Jair Brown.
Let's talk about Jair Brown. And Jair really, Brown, Robert Saleh gets the thumbs up, right?
Yeah. Jair Brown just playing Sam linebacker, like Talanoa Hufanga. And
love it.
It just worked. And it was like, they're like, no more Luke Gifford. And also, no more, the future All-Pro is not playing, but we're going to have Jair Brown play Sam linebacker instead because we trust him. And it worked. It worked.
I mean, the Gifford thing is smart. I think that understanding you're going up with a team that plays a lot of 11 personnel, you can be lighter.
And tempo, too.
And tempo. Stout had, listen, I know that Stout had
a
really nice blitz. He was a tough watch again. I love the temperament. Get 100% why the Niners want to keep him out there, because if it clicks for him, it's awesome.
And it's always close to clicking, but he's just so handsy and so overeager and at his size.
Small. Yeah.
Yeah.
The small and just like the Seahawks, the Saints too are just like, where's he? We're going at him. And listen, that kind of trial by fire could really forge something strong. It could also never get better. We got a long ways to go. I'm not going to make a read one way or another because, again, I think that he's got it right between the ears. I don't want to have to. I don't want to have to ask somebody to be a feisty little shit, which is needed to play defense in the NFL, especially at that position. By the way, you don't want to have to teach that, but you can teach. Hey, maybe we're a little cleaner here. Maybe we trust ourselves a little bit more in this position. Like, you're close. He's close. That doesn't mean he'll get there, and it doesn't mean that he's going to put on another 15 flipping pounds so that he can actually be something in the run game. But you can't teach that temperament, and at a certain point, we'll be like, temperament can only get you so far, and we've reached it. I got to get through the month of September. I got to get through that mini bye before I can make before I can plant a flag on Upton Stout. But through two games, he's a liability, full stop.
No question. Dante says, Renardo also thought the game started at 10:30 today. He did have some rough moments, but like, he's still staying in phase. And like, there were two incredible catches in this game. There was the one-hander by Shaheed, and then there was the Juwan Johnson.
The Juwan Johnson one was awesome. Like, Siegel was not as impressive today, though he wasn't asked to do as much today because of the Jair Brown quirk that Saleh threw out there. But, like, you can't play better defense than he did. Juwan Johnson is just prime Hakeem Olajuwon in looks and apparently in stature, and just
Juwan
went up
Johnson,
there and dunked on him.
is a confounding player because I had him on my fantasy team last year at times, and then I was like, I can't ever do this again. Because he'll go and he'll have like a game for like 7 catches, 80 yards, and a touchdown. You're like, is this guy like a top 5 tight end?
His first 2 targets today.
Right, and you're like, he's incredible. And then
no, his first 2 targets pass hit him right in the hands.
Right here, and he'll drop it. He is the worst drops in the league and genuinely, I think, forgets he's playing football sometimes.
He is, but then he goes and just makes up for all of it with that sweet-ass catch, and he's an awesome player. I can't blame Siegel. Siegel did have a bad penalty in this game and was kind of a non-factor in general, like just which is kind of a nice thing to say about a rookie safety, right?
Yeah, I don't mind
that about Stout.
Yeah, I don't mind safeties showing up occasionally. Like it's a little bit like offensive linemen where it's like if you don't notice him, it's probably a good thing.
Yeah, and then I will say, I think you missed one of the great. I mean, Olave got Green very early in this game, just owned him, and you're like, well, sometimes you got to take
Olave is still sick. He lost like most of the season to a brutal concussion situation, but he's sick.
Awesome. Bryce Huff has got to be a stud. Now, he was a stud on my list well before he made the play of the game with that sack where there was something off. I mean, I'm not taking away anything from Bryce Huff's sack. It was a sweet pass rush, great bend, got under 75, got right to the quarterback, won the game. But there was something off with that snap situation because the snap was low. Rattler was like bobbling the snap as he's getting sacked.
Yeah.
And 75 was unaware the play was happening pretty much. But Huff, you've talked about this a couple of times now. And I think it needs to be reiterated. You can keep him out there against the run.
It's so funny because like he's graded out as a guy that you can only use as a pass rusher, right?
Yeah.
And that's been his reputation, so I expect that. But like he, through 2 games, has been fine against the run. Yeah. Like I've been surprised at expecting disaster, and it has not been close to that.
One could even say he might have even be good against
the run.
No,
he was.
In
game one, he was good against the run. I'm dead serious.
Vic Fangio looked at him and said, never again. On run defense, and Robert Saleh
coordinator,
like,
but like
he gets a little Kyle-y, if we're being honest. He gets a little high on his own supply at times. No, it's my way or the highway. And to be fair, he can get one wrong every now and again. He's gotten a hell of a lot of them right. You see, our guy from Texas, Makuba, with the pick today.
Oh my God, yeah,
Travis Kelce saying, "Here you go." Also, what was it? Who tackled him? Who was our guy from Ohio State?
Oh, Josh Simmons
just chased his ass down. It was awesome.
Yeah, I like how Jalen Moore got shade thrown at him today. They're like, yeah, Josh Simmons just whooped him in camp, and that was it. But he got his bag.
Thanks, Tom. Thanks, Tom. Tom's not getting any better, by the way. Number 2 Booths.
No, also someone mentioned it, but good Lord. The Fox broadcasts.
With the zoom-ins? How about we just show the last play again, and you, as a football expert, can point out what's cool about it or not?
Yeah.
I mean,
or we talk about Kyle Juszczyk being a key factor for a...
Listen, I agree that the concept of Kyle Juszczyk was going to be a key factor in that game.
The concept.
Like, because he didn't play enough for him to actually be a key factor. But, like, I don't doubt for a second that Moose Johnson, former fullback, goes into the meeting room and is like, fullback, right? And Kyle's like, hell yeah, let's talk fullbacks. And that in that game against a tight front, the 4-0-4, which did a really wonderful job, and the only way that it gave up anything in the run game is because Christian McCaffrey's like, I'm a god. I'm going to jump over 4 dudes and get 7 yards here. I don't doubt that against that kind of defense, you actually needed the fullback, particularly with Kittle out. But let's maybe cool it on the fullback talk here. I mean, it was tough. And Kevin Kugler, who's about as good as it gets on the radio broadcast, is like, you could even hear him be like, okay, and talking about the actual football game and not some sort of fantasy dream that that Moose Johnson's having. A lot of Moose Johnson talk. Let's Moose Johnson dud. Can we talk about Pooney for a second?
Yeah, he doesn't look right.
I feel
he didn't look right in game one, and he's battling. I got to give him credit and grade him on a curve because he's in pain.
He's fighting.
But he's not
right. Injured, and you see it on every single snap. You saw, frankly, Trent's injury today a little bit too, but he upped his game. He upped his game. I will say the McKivitz sack, that's not on McKivitz.
No, he did his job for like 2.5 seconds, and then Mac didn't move his feet. He didn't slide an inch in the pocket.
His guy went to the ground, and as an offensive lineman, like, that's a really tough spot, because if you push them again, then it's holding. Like,
yeah, you basically have to like full on fall up on them and crush them.
Even then, they might call holding. Like, yeah, they're looking for holding, and if a guy is just sumo wrestling body slamming you, like, they're like, oh, that's holding. I don't know what they're. You can have your arms out, and it's considered holding. So you have to sort of let the guy get up again in order to then re-engage in the block. Like, that's tricky. Like, that's not a fun thing to do, especially when you're thinking, oh, it's been 3 seconds already. Surely the quarterback's throwing the ball. Meanwhile, he's just standing there.
I will say, a lot of clean pockets, and I was very critical of their protections last year. I thought they did a good job. They would pull a guard and then have a tight end where it would be like a double team. They had a couple where it was like, it would have been Barch who's just gone.
Done.
At this point. And I think the experiment is probably, it's probably just going to be Colby now at this point.
I don't see a reason to bother with the game planning of Barch.
I'll grade it out to verify, but it seems like Colby's more competent at this point, which, again, shocker. Again, we admit when we're wrong. I thought Colby was going to suck.
We saw that coming. We didn't see Siegel coming. We didn't see Colby coming.
No, not at all. But Colby's been solid. We'll see. It's like Pooney after a couple games and people start to figure it out. But like, there were a couple plays where they would pull like Colby and have Tom just go with him. And they would look for a guy in the flat, and then Tonjes would late release. And I was like, I love this. It gives him a chance at a double team and just a clean pocket, and put your best offensive lineman against their best. And then if anyone else is coming, you pick it up and deal with it. But like, Mac had a lot more time to work with than I think anyone probably expected today.
Yeah, this was not get your back foot in the ground and then fire. Like, he was scanning. He was working his progressions. And again, sometimes he did it. Well, one time, clearly, he did it a little bit too long, because he'll throw the ball when he is good and ready, damn it. But in general, that was a good thing, because again, he's a processor, right? Like, that's his skill set. I think he has an above average arm. I think he can really rip it. That throw that he had to McCaffrey doesn't. I did see Steph Sanchez had a video from the game going full R49ers or whatever with like sideline tape. It was a really nicely layered ball. Like, it had a little bit of height to it. That doesn't reflect its, you know, we don't see that. We wouldn't see it in the press box, certainly, and we don't see it on TV. That's got to be some, like, kind of all 22 and a little bit of depth perception issues. Like, that was, there were a couple really nice throws. Let's be clear about this, too, with Mac, though. There were a couple where you're like, I have no idea where that was supposed to be going.
Oh, yeah. He had one that was nearly picked off. The Marquez Valdez Scantling, like, saved a pick. There was another one to, like, Jennings that was sketchy.
He had one on that great end of the first half drive where he threw it so far out of bounds to Pearsall that I'm like, oh, he must have been throwing that away. No. But then I saw how open Pearsall was, and I'm like, that's not a good decision.
Yeah, you see him. It's almost like, you just see him like rear back, and you're like, are you throwing this as hard as you possibly can right now?
I didn't put it together until I had to start putting some thumbnails and stuff together. And he's just chubby Jimmy, except like Kyle likes to talk to him.
Right. And he's got a weird, goofy swagger that's pretty lovable.
I really enjoyed his press conference.
He's
the dream.
He was like talking to a guy that he knew back from his days in like high school or back college in Alabama.
Back from LA, lower Alabama. Yeah,
that was awesome.
Yeah, but no one's ever. I mean, Mac is kind of he's a quirky dude, which is a nice way of saying we disagree with his fashion choices. But no one's ever like been like, oh, Mac Jones is. Actually, that's not true. They said that at the Patriots, but I'm starting to think that the Patriots in late stage Belichick might not have been a buttoned up operation.
Almost like the Patriots had no skill position players, and their offensive line like fell apart, and Mac completely lost whatever confidence he had in that first year, and then fell into worse and worse situations, and then started questioning his own reality, and then he's like, Kyle, please save me.
If you're Mac Jones, I know a lot of people, and this is such a ridiculous thing to bring up right now. So if some folks out there, the less scrupulous amongst us, are going to say, oh, it was stupid to pay Brock Purdy. That was dumb. You can get the same thing with Mac Jones, which, by the way, good luck with that next week. Because Arizona's defense is flying. If some people want to do that, I'm going to be ridiculous and extrapolate and speculate.
Is anyone saying that?
You know they are.
Yeah, that's true.
You know deep down, and you know who's saying it to. And let them do their thing. That's not for us. Theoretically, that's not for anyone watching this either. We're not a protest show by any stretch.
Right.
But the entire idea is that Jake and I needed an outlet to talk about tape and pretend like we know what the hell we're talking about. And here we are today. And thank you for joining us and being a member, where we're getting all your chats in. We'll go to them in just a moment. But if we're going to just, you know, go into this alternate, has Mac Jones made enough money as a first round pick that he's just like, you know what? Let's just re-up this current contract. Like, let's just, how about I'll just be like,
it's
your $9 million
deal. So he's like,
how about I just hang out here for a while? Like, how about I'm just the full-time backup quarterback? And that legitimately would be more of a getting one over on the league than Jake Moody ever could have been.
Do you remember the Daniel Tosh bit about dying on the field as like a 40-year-old third-string quarterback and how that's the perfect gig in all of sports?
Why do you think Joe Flacco keeps leaving his family? Like, he gets to start, to be fair, but like, Josh Johnson is like, I'll take another job.
I honestly think it's like becoming a real advantage for Kyle at this point, because now it's like anytime there's like I don't want to say athletic because he's not athletic, but anytime there's like a former high draft pick who needs rehabilitation, come down to the Kyle Shanahan clinic.
Kyle Shanahan is running the same sort of thing Nick Saban ran with like wayward coaches. It's like, come here, be an analyst for me. Maybe we'll promote you to court. Lane Kiffin, Sark, Dable, like just come on over and like we'll fix you. Get that little shine on you, and then you can go about your way. But like,
by the way, they're doing the same thing at East Tennessee State. I was covering East Tennessee State yesterday, and guess who showed up? But Cade McNamara, whose body has given out.
Yeah,
not in his ninth
year
well.
Of eligibility.
They choked it. They choked an 11-point lead. Don't worry about it. We're moving on.
Who did they play? Look up East Tennessee.
Look up West Georgia. West Georgia, I think.
Jesus, I was unaware that.
Who's number 25 ranked? Comeback. Okay. Good game. Okay. But it's like him and a guy who played for Arkansas, and you're like, what is happening here? And they're splitting snaps, and you're like, FCS football is crazy.
FCS football is crazy. Imagine if you were like a great punt returner in FCS football, and then somehow got a job in the NFL.
Or if you had like one great year in FCS football, and then you were drafted third overall.
Man, that's
a
wild.
Dual threat quarterback, and it turned out you couldn't really run all that well.
Good thing that's never happened. Okay, should we go into some comments? Would you like to freestyle it? Kind of that game needed to be freebase. That was a weird game.
Yeah, that was some freebase football.
Like, again, we talked about coming into this game, like the Niners have to steal a couple while Brock is out, right? And I don't think that Mac's performance changes anything about if Brock can play, Brock plays. Because you'll see on the tape what we kind of saw in real time, which is like, we are flying by the seat of our pants here. Like, this is tight. This is unnecessarily tight. And it's not like you have a bunch of receivers who can separate all that well. And Kyle, I'm sure, is thinking to himself, I can't live like this week in, week out. I'll do it if I have to. And I did.
Secretly, I think Kyle enjoys it more when he's got a dog shit situation and he gets to come up with a game plan like that, especially this early in the year. I think he probably has more fun with that.
I don't disagree that I think Kyle gets, and I wrote, this was my column today. I think Kyle gets like a perverse satisfaction out of reminding people just how good he is because you so easily take him for granted.
He was dialed in today.
He was on fire. And it was all the little stuff, right, of a Kyle Shanahan thing. So like the big stuff that you see when you know Kyle's on is linebackers being left out there to die. Like linebackers being like, I don't know, because they have to do three things at one time and they have to choose one. And meanwhile, there's the ball and you chose none or you choose wrong. That's Kyle at his best. That's a lot harder to do in this day and age, just given the athleticism of defenses, given the versatility and the dynamic nature, kind of the amoeba nature of these defenses.
Yep.
And I thought that, I want to be clear, I thought that the Saints had a pretty damn good defensive game plan. But I think Kyle had a better offensive game plan. And
I agree.
Like, Werner, who was pretty damn good early, just got put in the blender, man. He's like, I want to die.
Yeah, it's tough.
That's the big stuff. The little stuff is concocting these tight windows off of little things. Like it was an incomplete pass to Jennings on a third down where they bump out McCaffrey.
Yep.
That pulls out the linebacker. That created just enough space for Mac to actually do a three-step and throw to Jennings right in between three dudes in a window. Now, it was a little bit off, and Jennings, frankly, should have caught it, but his arms don't work good, nor do his legs. And it didn't come together, but you're like, oh, man, that's some, like, peak Kyle right there finding
it was vintage. It was vintage. I also just remembered that Mac throw where he like threw it into quadruple coverage to Jennings and Pearsall was like wide open to the left. If he'd look,
the all 22 will not be as fun to watch as that game.
No,
was. That was like a weirdly entertaining game.
I was expecting that to be like 20 to 17 at best, total slop, like grinding for every play. I will say Spencer Rattler, who I've done nothing but trash,
liked
a lot better than I expected.
Yeah.
He's got a little, I mentioned it, that he's got a little scoot, slinging it, made some ugly throws, but like for what he's got with the Saints, doing a pretty good job.
Yeah. Listen, I think Kellen Moore is doing a good job of putting him in advantageous situations. And you know, they got some heft up front. They got some maulers. They get burned, but they can also lay into you a little bit there.
Yeah.
Olave's really, really good finding ways to get Shaheed the ball in more ways. They did. They got him the ball, but probably not enough.
It seems like they forget he exists. They get him the ball on like one sick play, and then they're like, oh, wait, yeah, we still have this guy.
Yeah, he probably does just get eliminated anytime he has to run a route. Like, he's a total gadget player. He's a mini Debo, right? He'll make you miss as opposed to more like a Curtis Samuel.
Total non sequitur.
Yeah.
How about the Indianapolis Colts?
You were spot
very,
on
very
that.
Early. But
you want to talk about someone scheming it up, baby. Shane Steichen's on one. And
Danny
Sweet
Dimes.
Lou on D is on one.
Yeah, it's
one.
A Sweet Lou Anarumo, like legendary revenge tour.
Let's be clear about this. I'm not sure the Colts are actually good, but they have now put together kind of two games like the 49ers put together today where you're like, I'm not sure this would stack up with any level of quality in league. But ultimately, this was as good of you as you could have played. Like, you got the most out of this one.
Yeah.
And that deserves to be commended.
But also,
the way that I compared it was, it's like watching a group of five game. Like, you're watching a game in the American Conference and you're like, oh, there's a couple of pretty good players out there and there's some really shitty ones. And like, it's really entertaining. And like, there's a lot of misses, but there's also a lot of hits. And then you think like, what would this look like if they played Georgia? And you're like, I don't want to think about that.
Exactly.
What would happen if the Eagles came to town? I'm not sure.
By the way,
to think about that.
By the way, Eagles and Chiefs, it was like a borderline unwatchable.
Yeah, I had it red zoned, and honestly, the Cardinals and the Panthers. Not that I was like intently watching.
No, I did the same thing. I was like,
I was so happy red zone had something else to watch.
I know.
And we didn't have to listen to.
The Cardinals almost blew that thing, but I still think they win next week.
I am
the Cardinals.
Well, at this point, I should keep picking the other team because it seems to be working out for the 49ers. And again, I don't feel unjustified. Like, I'm not hating. I don't feel unjustified in picking the other team against the San Francisco 49ers. It's inherently hating because I don't love what the Niners are doing, but it's not personal, you know?
Right.
Like, I'm excited to watch that Arizona tape because they have some. Like, Benson looks really good. Kyler was running it because it's September, and that's what Kyler does in September.
Yeah.
That defense was really flying around there for a stretch, making poor Bryce Young question his life decisions. I think they just let their foot off the pedal, but I wasn't watching intently enough.
I wasn't watching the end. I wonder if they just spy Kyler next week and just.
Well, they got two guys who can do it pretty well. I mean, or maybe three with Jair.
Well, yeah, I was going to say, I guess you don't really want Upton Stout trying to tackle him, but like have a little guy and a little guy warfare where you just have Upton Stout follow Kyler all game long.
I mean, it might be fun.
I don't know if it'll work, but it'll be fun.
I'll have to look into this. I would imagine that the 49ers Super Bowl odds have dropped precipitously, but the vibes are high. Again, it's all about expectations versus reality. And I think that in week one, they had every reason to lose that game. They found a way to win. This week was absolute carnage with everything that went on. You're not sure if Jennings is going to play. He probably shouldn't have played. Thank God he did, but he probably shouldn't have played.
And like, Trent just like warming up and like, all right, I guess I guess.
Trent getting everything injected in. He's getting Chinese peptides sent right to the stadium to get injected into that spot. Well, you know, we are in the Bay. And we can talk about that another time. But it was like, dude, this is brutal. Then Juice goes down. Barch goes down. I know that those guys aren't nearly at that level. But, like, you're starting to get a trend here, and you don't like the direction it's going. For them to be able to gut out a win there with just guile and smarts, as you noted, like, at some point they will be in a better situation because of the wide receiver room, and maybe they'll have maybe one more guy who can separate, because today was just Pearsall.
And no question.
At some point Kittle will come back, because it is a hamstring injury, and those don't last forever, though he is on IR. I think that was just being conservative, and they were right to do that. At some point Purdy will come back, and he can make, you know, he can make something that breaks down turn into something that's A-OK. And by the way, Purdy still operates pretty damn well inside this system that we were so laudatory today.
It's also like, it's also funny that, like, you know, Mac with this, they came up with this game plan to, like, actually protect him. It's like, what if you did that?
What a concept.
For your actual quarterback.
It's maybe good. Like, this is, like, legitimately, this was the kind of, the way I phrased it in the column is that we went to an alternate universe for 3 hours today in New Orleans. The one where Kyle got his wish and Mac Jones is his franchise quarterback.
Yep.
And I think that it's kind of like, you know, I'm going to sound like Aaron Rodgers here, and I've never done it, but I'm open-minded to it, pun intended. Like, it's kind of like going on an ayahuasca trip or taking LSD or something. Like, sometimes you have to go to the deep, dark place so that it can put into better perspective what the day-to-day is. We're all frogs in the boiling pot of water, man.
Wow, that's beautiful.
Every day we're just kind of getting through it, right? And there's no context given to the vast majority of things that we do. And unless we take some time to reflect on it, or we're forced into an adverse situation that allows us to understand better what it is that we really value, like, it's hard to think about those things. It's hard to, you know, we take those things for granted. This could be a very good game, not for the fan base or anything like that, for Kyle. This could be a good game for Kyle, because he's like, okay, maybe we just got a little too loose on everything.
Yeah.
Maybe I can do more to help Brock. Maybe I just gave him too much. What if I pull that back an ounce and treat him a little bit more like I treat Mac? Maybe that can help him. Maybe I'm losing something on one end, but I gain more on the other.
I think that's a great, by the way, beautiful sentiment. Well stated.
I think about this all the time. I don't have time to go on an ayahuasca trip, so I daydream about ayahuasca trips. It's very bad.
I love that. I love that for you. I also think Purdy watching it from the sidelines and being able to have that perspective himself is, like, going to help both of them.
Yeah.
I couldn't agree more. And I think we should hit some.
I think that's a great idea,
comments,
Jake.
Before we get out of here,
read them off to me, because I've changed my setup to where I look straight and then the computer.
Awesome. Alberto said the O-line improved when Colby got in there. I think that's probably accurate. I had Barch graded out as the worst offensive lineman last week.
Yeah.
Again, I'm doing grades on O-line and D-line on the Hutch Report every single week.
It's awesome. It's really good.
Go on there. Again, because PFF graded Barch as the top offensive lineman last week. They have, and really, I don't want to just rag on them every week, but, like, it's
we're
actually
canceling our subscription.
Anymore.
That's what's
actually
happening.
Yeah.
Like, legitimately, like, I'm going to look into getting a refund, because
it's a bummer.
I don't see the game of football the way they see it. And I'm not saying that I know everything about the game of football, far from it, but, like, it is impossible to consider that they're seeing it that way.
I don't understand it.
And I refuse to acknowledge it.
I agree. Nevin, the Jenny Sechen was like the Austin Power scene.
I think I just lost to my fantasy baseball league.
Oh, that's devastating. Trent Grisham didn't come through for you?
No, but Rosario's on the other guy's team, and he just hit a home run.
That's devastating.
I'm not coming back from Ahmed Rosario. It's all over.
He's going to need an actual ayahuasca.
Man Bear Puig had a great run this year. Oh. I'm very proud of them. That hurts.
It's okay.
That hurts.
It's okay. Would you like to go watch this Austin Powers scene that we're talking about?
I know exactly what the Austin Powers scene you're talking about is. I know Austin Powers inside and out, baby.
It's great. Mashed eggs. Awesome.
Yeah, we love mashed eggs.
Asks, wonder if the plan for Martin was to be a D. Winters replacement down the road when he wants a top shelf contract, but they wouldn't spend a top 100 pick on that, right? Right?
That's pretty galaxy brain.
I think it is galaxy brain.
I mean, it looks right now.
I think that's how they'll pitch it. I think that's how they'll pitch it.
Oh, no, no, no. He was never supposed to be.
Yeah, we drafted him 75th overall because we thought he wouldn't contribute for like 2 or 3 years.
No, yeah. We were going to redshirt him the entire
time. We didn't want to really maximize the value of his rookie contract. We wanted to wait.
No, no, no. We didn't want to unleash him. We wanted to Jordan Love him, right? That way that he'd be cheaper on the second one.
Hey, and maybe he is a future All-Pro. Who knows? I will not stop bringing that up. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
it's ridiculous.
I believe that his yeah, okay. We're gonna
moving on.
I'll talk to him tomorrow night.
Griffin, I mean, we've won two weeks in a row now on insane defensive plays at the very end of the game. Two strip sacks at the end of the game.
Yeah,
Does feel a little Chiefsy.
Ooh, fine. The Chiefs won 15 games last year.
The Chiefs was the inverse. The Chiefs is not defense. It would be Mahomes squirrel running for like a 7-yard gain.
Yeah.
That just gets them into range for their weird field goal kicker. Anyway, we shouldn't talk about it. Anyway, so should Sebastian Valdez be called up to the active roster?
Probably not.
Probably not is where I'm at too.
Valdez is just a high floor and it's not that high. Very low ceiling guy. I don't think that, especially with Kyler and the read option that they run, like the last thing I want is someone who's kind of inherently unathletic there. Listen,
he's athletic. He's extremely athletic. That's his whole thing.
He's athletic in a I'm going straight way. But
no, I know what you mean. He doesn't have a wiggle to him. I mean, he looks stiff, but he can move. He's athletic.
I think that Valdez, this is unfair to him because nothing was expected. And he's done a good enough job to be in this conversation. So he does deserve plaudits for that. But like Valdez doesn't really make sense with the Robert Saleh defense that we're watching.
I think he would have made sense in this game against the Saints, like an up-tempo offense where you sort of want an athletic defensive tackle in there.
He's just a meatball replacement. And we know what meatball was.
Yeah, but meatball can't really move much.
Yeah. Yeah,
but you're right in terms of what they provide on the field. That's basically the one for one.
I don't think Valdez is strong enough to be that and everything else.
He's pretty strong.
I don't think he's strong enough. I think that in order to play the style that he plays, he has to be preternaturally strong, and I don't think he is. I think that
he's pretty strong.
I bet that guy watches. I'll just ask him. I bet that guy watches a lot of tape of Aaron Donald, which is a good guy to watch tape on.
Agreed. But it's also hard to replicate.
Impossible to replicate. No human's that strong. And Aaron Donald, let's be clear, does not make sense. Never has, never will. He is a one of one. There's no
player. Did you see the video about Jared Verse where he's like worked out with Aaron Donald and he's like called his wife? He's like, I actually need help. Like, I'm not going to survive this workout.
Did you hear the one about him working out with the Make-A-Wish kid?
Oh, no. Is that a real thing?
Yeah. So there's a Make-A-Wish kid. He was like a high schooler, and he was like a high school football player, to be fair, right? So it's not like a 7-year-old. And his dream was to work out with Aaron Donald. Matt Stafford told this story. His dream was to work out with Aaron Donald. So Aaron Donald's like, bet, we're going to work out. And Aaron Donald did his normal workout, which makes grown men puke. Like, Jared Verse could be the defensive player of the year in the NFL. In the next couple of years, Aaron Donald made him puke. Like he gave him whatever that mitochondrian disease,
right?
Effectively, that all of Iowa got like 10 years ago. So he has this Make-A-Wish guy. They're at like training camp. They're doing the workout. The Make-A-Wish kid is puking into a trash can. Like he can't do it. And they're like, dude, just like take it easy. And he's like, he wanted to work out. This is how we work out. He's a madman. He's also the only guy in the league who at that he could pick up an offensive line. Like, I bet he could pick up Trent Williams and throw him. Trent Williams, I bet he could.
Right.
He's one of the greatest football players of all time. He's a one of one. I'm all for, like, you know, shooting for the stars here, but this is like crappy basketball players watching Michael Jordan and thinking that they're that guy. It's like
100%.
Maybe we watch some more Shane Battier, you know?
I agree. Shane Battier reference. Wow. Last one from Nevin. Yeah, Rattler took Stout's soul on a fake. Maybe not the best buy for Kyler. Oh, I know. I saw. His tackling's a problem. I'm just saying from the entertainment perspective of having two little guys chase each other around all game.
Listen, it's about
the fun.
It's about the bit. And by the way, Arizona, their whole shtick for a couple of years was like not to make Kyler feel uncomfortable. So they got wide receivers who were all shorter and smaller than him. That is no longer the case. They go three tight ends a lot. They go with, I don't know why Marvin Harrison Jr. decided to get ripped in the offseason, but he is unquestionably ripped. I'm not sure if that does anything for him as a receiver. Michael Wilson's like a big body player.
Yep.
Like Arizona, you might think, oh, here's the Cardinals. Here's Kyler torch. Murray. They got that little weeble back there. But like you might think that they have both of the games this season. It's kind of one of the talking points of whatever these broadcasting meetings are, is like the other team saying about how they have to match the physicality of the 49ers, which is fair, right? That's the 49ers MO. That's what, especially early in the season, they're trying to establish that. That's what they want to be. They want to be really physical. And they've certainly looked that way on defense, and I think on offense they've gotten by. Yeah. I think the Niners are going to have to match the physicality of the Cardinals.
I think they're going to struggle, and I think they're going to lose. But as a reminder, the second matchup they have with the Cardinals is 2 days after the new Call of Duty releases.
That's right.
And if you know, you know.
If you, yeah, there's a lot going on with the
literally,
Cardinals.
Literally, I said that before Kevin even made this comment.
Yeah.
No, it literally is being released.
It's like
2 days before their second matchup.
November 14th. Yeah.
I looked it up. It's in the season guide. It is
literally
2 days.
It is literally
in the season
guide,
which if you're a member, you already have.
Griffin with a good point here. Sorry if you can pull that one up, Jake.
Yep.
Next week is going to be a big game for Mikel to see how long he can keep contained. Absolutely. But here's the thing. You can make the argument right here, right now, that since Nick Bosa has been the dude in San Francisco, he has never had somebody who can hold the edge or set the edge better than Mikel Williams has in the first two games of his NFL career.
I think you're right. And I think the value, literally, you know that in John Lynch is watching that play where Mikel was playing from three tech and drove it back, and then Bosa cleaned up almost. Yep. Where Bosa was literally doing the cleanup job, almost like Floyd. Like, that's the dream. And the fact that worked already in game two is, I mean, it was incredible to watch.
This is the football that I enjoy. And
yeah,
we'll see from here on out. But I got to say this about the Niners before we head out of here. One, they got some grit to them, right? They got some scrap. I don't know what it is. I don't want to put a name on it just yet because it isn't enough of a sample size for it to be sort of this overarching characteristic. But the first two games, they have come through clutch on defense in the biggest moments, and they've played very well in big moments on offense.
I agree.
The second thing is, I don't think that this team's getting out coached at any point. The Saints have a pretty good coaching staff. Niners out coached them. Seahawks have a pretty damn good coaching staff. We'll see about Kubiak, but you know Mike McDonald's got it. I would argue that the Niners were even, or if not a little bit better. And that was, certainly Saleh was better than Kubiak in that game.
I'm with you.
There's teams that can match them. I think the Rams can match them. The Broncos can match them. I think that maybe even the Colts could match them. Like on their best days, and maybe on their steady days, they're in Minnesota, Green Bay,
right.
Kansas City. Like there are certainly teams that have elite coaching staffs. I'm not saying that the Niners are head and shoulders above anybody else, but there's no tier above where the Niners are. They might be in there with some other teams, but there's no tier above where the Niners are when it comes to coaching. And that's really shown in the first two games.
I think one last thing before we get out of here. I just think the way they built up this defensive line for pass rush versatility is just going to be fun as hell to watch, regardless of like whether Mikel develops a bunch of pass rush moves or not over the course of the season. I don't think he will by the end of the year, but I think he will get better. But like the power that he has, the versatility of Gross Matos and Huff, who's just, I think part of it's his size and his bend and the speed off the edge. But
he's
like
funky.
They just have a mix that's a real problem for any offensive line, because they can attack him from a variety of angles. Stout, as much as he's a liability, has been pretty great blitzing, is able to swipe hands really well. Mm-hmm. They've just got a lot of versatility and a lot of different things they can do, and I'm excited to keep watching that.
Have I thrown you sorry, I'm gonna just do this because baseball's on and I don't want to go parent my children. Have you heard my theory on offensive and defensive lines and how they apply to baseball?
No, I would love to hear it. I think that's a great place to end.
I think that defensive lines are like bullpens. You want a lot of arms, and you want them all to be a little bit different so that you have not, you don't have the same stuff coming at you, right? You can go with someone who's a sidearm or someone who's a junk ball or 100-mile-per-hour fastball. You want a bunch of different stuff. And the bullpens are sometimes going to feel like, oh, you lost the game because of your bullpen. But over the course of a season, having all that funk is going to win out. And I'm a longtime believer that bullpens win divisions. Starting pitchers, that's your offensive line. You got five guys in there. Do they have to be great? Not particularly. You can, in fact, in the case of the Niners, have one great one.
Right.
Maybe someone who's
borderline
number
two. Just chew up innings. Just be out there and okay.
So if you're thinking about baseball, because we're getting into the pennant race here, and you're thinking about football, I think that defensive lines need to be bullpens. And this was a good Eno Saris thing from this year, the great baseball writer Eno Saris. Like, there's something about the differentiation of bullpens that makes them great if you have a bunch of guys who have different looks. That creates a great bullpen because there's a requisite amount of stuff, obviously. And then starting pitchers, it's just like you were saying, Jake, just eat the innings. And if you have one great guy that you can really count on, you're in really good shape. And I'm feeling really good about that. I got a lot of takes that don't age well. That one's going for me. I can't write it in a column, so I'm glad we used it here. Jake, tell the people where they can get your offensive and defensive line grades.
Yep, you can read my column for free. I've got it all laid out on the Hutch Report.
Gratis.
I'll add it to the description after this goes up. Hutchreport.substack.com. All good stuff. I'm going to have takeaways from watching film after the All 22 goes up, and then I'll have grades for offensive, defensive line. And I usually pick one other player outside of the offensive and defensive line, and I'm leaning towards doing Jair Brown this week.
Well, I'll say this. I mean, you and I think that it should be Jair Brown. I'm looking forward to if it's Jair Brown, but maybe the comments section can get after us
if there's somebody you guys really want me to grade out and evaluate, let me know.
We'll do the tape breakdown on Tuesday.
One sec.
Oh, wonderful. Here we go.
Vice, thank you. Last season was an interesting perspective. Kyle's unquestionably better when he isn't having to manage both the offensive, defensive sides of the ball spot on.
Absolutely.
He clearly was looking over his shoulder for the last couple years.
I don't know why he needed to do that. Maybe because he had to count to 11 a couple of times for his defensive coordinator. Yeah. It is much like Brian Robinson is the control to let you know how good Christian McCaffrey is. Like, the last 2 years have been the control. Like, Robert Saleh might not even be that good, but he is manna from heaven for this football team because he's I don't know, coaching
and
trying stuff.
He is good. He's dialed in too, and he's relaxed too. He doesn't have like the Jets media barking up his ass. Like, he's got a bunch of fun toys and like rookies where it's like, if it doesn't go right, it's like, well, they're rookies. What did you expect?
No, and what was his opening line? It's like, it's going to be a roller coaster. Buckle up. It's like, dude, good expectation setting, Robert. You're smart enough. Good. He should have been a great. He's such a smart guy. Maybe he gets a little bit too platitudinal. Is that a word? Too many platitudes.
No, but he still gives you more nuggets than most of the DCs we've had here.
I like Robert a lot, and I think that he's in a very comfortable spot with, like, dude, I don't want another head coaching job. Like, why would I want this? You know how much money I can make as a defensive coordinator? Like, we're good. And I won't have to, you know, how much is my mental health worth? How much is not living in Jersey worth? I don't know. Jake, you can answer that question.
I just went. And a lot of McMansions, a lot of very cheap plastic siding was my takeaway.
49ers but great defense bagels. Is anything but.
All right, folks. We will see you on Tuesday.
Tuesday's film breakdown, Thursday's game preview. And we might have something for you on the in-between. No promises made there, but Tuesday and Thursday, we'll talk to you then.
Peace.
Adios. All right, that was good.